And if we'd open our Bibles this morning to 1 John. And reading from verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we reverently approach Your word this morning, knowing that if we walk in the light of Your presence, because He said, if we walk in the light as You are in that light, the blood of Jesus Christ, Your Son, cleanses us from all sin. And it brings us together in fellowship. And so, Father, we would pray that these words would have a meaning in our heart, that truly, Lord, we've been studying this message of Your prophet for 20-some years now, and some of us for longer than that. And Lord, we've been together as a church for 20 years, and we believe, Father, that we've been walking in that light. And yet, Father, we pray for a consciousness, an awareness, Lord. Truly, as Your prophet came to the end of the road and he said, you know, all my thoughts are of God. I no longer have any fear in my life. And so, Father, we pray that as this word and Your presence affected our prophet, that it so would have the same effect upon us in our life. And now, Father, we just commit ourselves to the teaching of Your word, to the shout which You've come down with, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I'd like to continue from Who is this Melchizedek? From paragraph 70. This is number 73 in our series. And I'd actually like to label this "The Spirit Beareth Witness with Our Spirit." Now, Brother Branham said, he that's born of God does not commit sin. He cannot sin. Now, we find this quote in the book of John, 1 John. In John chapter 3, verse 7. He says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness, which is right wiseness, is righteous, rightly wise. Even as he, God, is rightly wise. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Now that's a stinger. So we better be looking at this a little carefully, because if we look at it simply, he that does not commit sin, or he that commits sin is of the devil, then we're all of the devil. But that's not what the word commit means. You see? He says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. So we better look a little bit more at this passage, or else there would seem to be no hope for any. For all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Now John said, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Now the Greek word for commit there is a Greek word pronounced poieo, and it means to initiate, to celebrate, or to habitually do. Therefore we should read this as, whosoever is born of God does not initiate sin. David didn't go looking for Bathsheba. She happened to strip herself in front of him down below. And when he was looking over the realm of his kingdom, he looked down and he saw this woman, very beautiful, and he lusted. Got out of control, committed adultery. Who whosoever is born of God does not initiate. You don't go looking for it. There may be times you stumble and fall, and there's 70 times 7 more grace. And Brother Bram said there's this hour sometimes more hotter, but there's sometimes more grace. You see? Or we can read it this way. Whosoever is born of God does not celebrate sin. Or better still, we can read it this way. Whosoever is born of God does not habitually continue to sin. Or continue in sin. And why is that? Because John continues by saying, for his, that's God's, seed remains in him. And he, God, cannot sin. In other words, you have no power, you have no permission to sin because it's God's life living out through you. And God can't sin. And if you've truly been born of God, because he says, notice, because he is born of God. Now look, if you have been born again, it means one thing. There has been a new birth, which means a new life is now living in your temple. And that, your life, the new life, the one that's been born again, is not the old sinful man. That man is perishing day by day. The new man is being renewed daily by feeding on the Word, which liveth and abideth forever. And it is now God's own life, God's life that is living in you, and you have become a new creation in Christ, as we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Things have passed away, and all things have become new. So, there's a new life living there. That life can't sin. That life is God's life. Now notice verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not rightwiseness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Now what does he mean by that? Was John joking? As I said last week? Or is this God's word that we're reading? He says here, whosoever doeth not rightwiseness is not of God. Then are we to avoid this because it's too controversial? I don't think so. You can call a buzzard an eagle if you want to, but just because you say it doesn't make it so. And you can call yourself born again if you wish to, but if your life doesn't bear it out, how can it be so? Now after Brother Bannon quotes from 1 John 3, he then swings right into Romans 8 and verse 1. And so we read, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. There you are. Let's go back to it. Romans, and we're going to be studying from Romans 8 today. Notice Romans 8, chapter 1, or chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now what does he mean by that? There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. They walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Brother Anne goes on to say, there you are, see, that throws your body subject. You don't have to say, oh, if I could just quit drinking or whatever. If I could just get into Christ, it's all gone. See? Because your body is subject to the Spirit, it's no more subject to the things of the world, they're dead. They are dead. And your sins are buried in baptism. And you are a new creation in Christ. And your body's becoming subject to the Spirit. Therefore, you try to live a right kind of life. Now, if it throws your body subject, it throws your body subject. Now, what does it mean to throw your body subject? What does it mean to throw anything? Who's got the power then? The one doing the throwing or the one being thrown? Huh? Who's got the power in your life, I ask you? God or you? If it's you, you're not thrown. Your body has not been thrown. Now, a couple weeks ago when I picked up Jeremy, held him up over my head, read from the scripture that said, that Paul said that we get under our body, bring it into subjection. When you're up in the air like that, now you might feel like, maybe, well, if I could just grab a hold of his neck and squeeze and twist and everything else, and then you could do that, and you might find yourself falling about 6 feet to the floor. Or better yet, if I had, like I did when I was younger and a little stronger, I'd take kids in the class, grab them by the arm, by the leg, and walk around the classroom. Like that. Let them know who's the biggest, the teacher or the kid. Well, if I were to hold them up 8 feet up in the air and say, now, squirm and kick all you want to, and if you do, I'll just drop you. What's going to happen? You become very passive immediately, don't you? Well, that's what God's trying to do. We're in His hands, aren't we? Then let go. And let God. How many remember the story where Brother Branham tells about Rebecca? She climbed up on Brother Branham and she grabbed a hold of him, and little Sarah come out there. She said she had those little, you know, toe feet or whatever, pajama type things on, and she had Rebecca's old ones, so they were too big for her, and she was tripping on the way, and she finally got out there, and Rebecca looked down and said, Sarah, my sister, I have all of death. And she said her little lip went up, started to pout, and then Brother Branham said, I went like this, put my leg out, she reached out of my leg, and I held on to her, pulled her up, and she said, Rebecca, my sister, death has all of me. Now, what would you rather do? You have all of God, or God have all of you? You see, if you're in His hands, then you're not in your own. You've let go, and you've let God. Now, that's what he's saying. Now, Brother Brown continues. Now, he says, like you women claiming that you got the Holy Ghost and going out here and wearing shorts and things, how could you do it? How could the Spirit of God in you let you do such a thing as that? It just can't be. Certainly it can't be. He's not a filthy spirit. He's a Holy Spirit. And then when you become subject to that Spirit, it throws your whole being subject to that Spirit. And that Spirit is nothing in the world but His seed word becoming manifest, made manifest. Or quickened, hallelujah, made alive. And when the Bible said, don't do this, that body quickly turns to it, and there's no question. And what is it? It's the earnest of the resurrection. This body will be raised up again because it's already started. It was once subject to sin and mire and corruption, but now it's got the earnest. It's turned heavenly. Now that's the earnest that you're going to have in the rapture. Hallelujah. I like that. Now this morning, we're going to examine this Romans chapter 8 for a few minutes to see what Brother Branham's driving at here. Now remember, he's speaking from Melchizedek, or on the subject of Melchizedek, and the theophonic form in which Melchizedek was in, and how that Jesus never bypassed his theophany like you and I did, but we bypassed our theophany and came to this world for testing. Now that is in the context to which Brother Branham has quoted these two scriptures here. And it is given to us to better understand, or bring a better understanding to us, of the workings of the Holy Spirit in the new birth for you and I, to get us ready to receive a glorified body that will not be capable of dying. Now can you imagine being in a body that's not capable of dying? You could fall off a cliff a mile high. You're not going to die. Incapable. Incapable of dying. Well, if you're incapable of dying, you're going to be incapable of getting sick. Incapable of suffering pain. Incapable of corruption. Incapable. Not able. Hallelujah. So contrary to what we're used to. You try to do something for yourself, you hit yourself in the thumb with a hammer, it just about drives you up the wall. incapable, brother, sister, of death. Wow. To me, that's what I want. And so we read, there is therefore now no condemnation. The word is kathprima, and it means damnatory sentence. In other words, there is no white throne to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, if you're not walking after the flesh, if you're not in Christ Jesus, there will be a white throne. But to that few in the election who are in Christ, who walk in the Spirit, no white throne, no judgment. You're being judged now. You're judging yourself by lining up with the Word. You see? Now, notice again. It's not what you say that counts. It's your walk. Those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made or set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness, the right wiseness, or the correct understanding of the law might be fulfilled in us. And here it is again, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. Now notice here, he says, they that are after the Spirit. What does it mean to be after the Spirit? Does that mean come behind? Well, in a sense it does. They that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. Those that are born again by the Spirit of God have become new creations in Christ and are always mindful of the things of the Spirit, namely God Himself. Notice, they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of not your spirit. How contrary to Pentecost, or so-called Pentecost. Oh, woo, I can feel it in the Spirit. Woo, woo, woo. He says, they that are walk after the Spirit, not your spirit. Notice, they that walk after the article the. There's only one the Spirit, and that's God. They that walk after God are mindful of the things of God. In the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And how do you know God? By His Word. They that walk after God, whose Spirit, whose Word, mind the things of the Word. The things of God. See? Now, look, this morning, I hammered pretty hard last week, and I saw some good results. I really did. And I want you to know, we're going to continue with this because I believe the words that we're going to look at today is going to help you with the tools that you need to understand whether you've been born again or not. He said, who walk not after the flesh. Now, if you walk after the flesh, you're following the flesh. But, he says, after the Spirit, see, we follow the things of the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us, set us free. All right, now, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. They that are after the Spirit, notice, do mind. What does it mean to mind the things? Well, the word after means to follow after. All right? And we've established that they that are after, they that follow after the Spirit, God, do mind the things of God. Okay? Now, like Jesus said, the Son of Himself can do nothing. Whatsoever the Son seeth the Father do, that the Son doeth likewise. Is that what He said? So isn't that the Spirit of a Son? The Son? Following the Spirit? Therefore, they that are after the Spirit do mind, or shall we say, do in their mind, the things of the Spirit. Let me say it again. Jesus said what? The Son of Himself can do nothing. He's weak. Worthless. Unless God take a hold of him. Same with you and I. Now, so, he says, the Son of Himself can do nothing, but whatsoever the Son seeth the Father do, that doeth the Son likewise. Now, does that mean when Brother Bram says it throws your body subject that you're just kind of like a robot and have no mind? Yes, Lord. No. You think it out. And so Jesus thought it out. He said, it's not my doctrine, not my words, not my actions. I saw the Father do it. And I'm just doing the same thing He did. And so it says, they that walk after the Spirit, God, do in their mind the same thing they saw God do. There's your sonship. There's your spirit of adoption. Hallelujah. Oh, brother, sister, we're tapping into something right now. You know, I brought out the Godhood of God, showing the Father in the Son. But up until today, I have not attempted to bring out, as I mentioned that I would, the next chapter would be God in His sons, because I didn't quite fully comprehend. But I'm beginning to comprehend. It's becoming a revelation to me. They that walk after the Spirit, they that walk after God's own Word, do in their mind what they see God do. Because we have an example. Jesus Christ, the Son. You see, we couldn't bring out God in His sons until we brought out God in the Son. Because we have an example. We have the pattern. Oh, hallelujah. Now notice. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after, they that come after, follow after the Spirit, God, do in their minds. Do in their minds the things of God. The Son of Himself can do nothing but whatsoever He seeth in His mind. Mental vision, however vision you want to call it, it's in His mind first. Now we talked about Wednesday night, the mark of God and the mark of the beast. Showing that the mark is in where? The forehead, which is where? The mind. Comes out in the actions. So we're talking now about the mark of God. Hallelujah. Notice. Therefore in verse 10 we read, the Spirit is life. Therefore the Spirit is life because of righteousness, because of right wiseness. But there is no inward spiritual man unless there is the Holy Spirit man. Notice in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, etc. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The inner spiritual man is like the good tree that beareth good fruit. And the flesh is like the corrupt tree which brings forth evil fruit. Matthew 7. It is more fitting to say that the Holy Spirit creates the good tree in us than to say He Himself is the good tree. Alright? Although He is the tree of life. And if He is the tree of life, then His children, His offspring, have got to be trees. And if He is the good tree, then we would be good trees. Now, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded, in other words, to do in your mind the things that are carnal is death. But to be spiritually minded, to do the things in your mind which are spiritual, brings life and peace. Now, what does it mean to be spiritually minded? It means to do those things in your mind. They'll come out in your actions. Remember, we talked about sowing and reaping. We talked about the garden of your mind. All these things come to play. See? Because the carnal mind, verse 7, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Notice, neither indeed can it be. Therefore, we're not talking about this mind that you were born with. We're talking about the mind of Christ that's been placed into you. By how? The Word. You see? Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. The carnal mind is enmity against God. That is the case because the carnal mind is not of God, but it's of the devil. It was born in sin, fashioned in passion, and came to the world speaking lies. And how can it please God? Well, you say, I know I'm elect, so I must be pleasing to God. And by what evidence do you know that you're elect? That's a good question. That's what we're speaking of today. How are you so sure? How many people in the world are so sure of themselves and yet so surely wrong? What evidence do you have, any of us, that you are elect? There is but one evidence, and that comes from a witness of His Spirit, that your spirit is from Him. Oh, you say, no. The evidence of being what? Elect or born again? The evidence of the new birth is what? That you believe the message for the hour in which you live. Right? So we've got a whole generation that's grown up and they've known no other message. Does that mean that they're born again? I'm afraid not. They might talk it. That's all they might know. But you see, kids, I'm really concerned. Because the last one's got to come in and be child-trained. Doesn't mean that you're just born in the flesh. It means you've got to be born in the Spirit. You'd be raised up in this message. We are now into third-generation message, kids. But remember one thing. God doesn't have grandchildren. And He doesn't have great-grandchildren. He has children. Your parents might be born again. And many of them are in here. But that doesn't mean that you are because your parents are. You've got to have a new birth. You've got to become God's kids, not your parents' kids. Yep. As righteous as Isaac and Rebekah were, they had a Jacob and they had an Esau. You see, your parents' state does not guarantee a thing for you. It's your state and your status with God. Now, there's a difference between the status and your state. Can anybody tell me? The status is you are sons. Beloved, now are we sons of God. It does not appear what we shall be. That's your state. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Your status is that you are sons. Your state is that... Well, what is your state? Are you born again? Huh? I believe I'm elect. I always believed I'm elect. But are you born again? Well, now I don't know. Am I born again? Now, let me tell you something. Brother Branham said this. The devil will tell you you're born again when you're not, and he'll tell you you're not when you are. So how do you know? We're going to talk about it, because Paul gets into it right here in Romans. All right. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, how is it that you think that you can please God when you know in your heart that you're not living like He wants you to live? Verse 9. And this is the key, this next verse. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, that's a good question. How do you know the Spirit of God is dwelling in you? You are not in the flesh, but after the Spirit... If so be, the Spirit of God dwells in you. In other words, without the Spirit of God dwelling in you, you cannot be spiritually motivated. You cannot be spiritually minded. And you cannot be spirit conscious. Remember, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, he said, let's just turn to it because my memory's not the greatest. 1 Corinthians 2, he said, now we have received, in verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, say the spirit of man that's in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man except the Spirit of God. So unless the Spirit of God, God life is in you, you cannot know, you cannot be conscious of the things of God. And if you haven't come to that place, you've got a white throne judgment. Unless you come to that place before the judgments hit the earth and the bride is taken out. So I'm compelling. I had a pastor in Minneapolis. When I fell in love with LaVon, they were upset because I wasn't falling in love with one of the sisters in the local church. So then I had a wrong spirit. I stayed at the altar one day between services. We had service at 10:30. We had service at 5:30. I stayed all between the whole time. I prayed to God, and God told me that I had His spirit. And it wasn't much longer than I left that church because I knew they didn't have His spirit. The devil will tell you you don't if you do, and he'll tell you you do if you don't. So you can't go by what the devil tells you. There's got to be something bear witness, brother, sister. Let every man's word be a lie, and mine be true. So the only true witness is who? Jesus Christ. He is the true witness. All right? We're getting someplace now. Then Paul tells it like it is. And he doesn't hold back at any punches. He says, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. That is, you do not live according to the old man, his wisdom, his hatred of God, but you are in the spirit. That is, you live according to the word of God, which is spirit, or according to the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, which we know via his word. And this brings fellowship with him and fellowship divine. Or shall we say, divine fellowship. If so be that the Spirit of God, dwells in you. If the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you, if God life dwells in you, His indwelling life will make us new creatures. St. Augustine said, he is called an enemy of God who does not obey His word. And this is because the wisdom of the flesh only seeks after earthly treasures and gifts, etc., and fears only that which is temporary, such as sin and death. He who is spiritually wise does not fear temporal things, but he who is mindful of the things of the flesh dreadfully fears death and of sin and of punishment of it. Those who have the wisdom of the Spirit delight in the will of the Father, because they are made known the wisdom of the Father, and they gladly take heed of His warnings, for they have become like Him, like-minded. Let this mind be in you. So, if they know that it is God's will that judgment day should come, which fills all carnal men with fear as it manifests divine wrath, yet they are not afraid of it, but they await with joy, and they desire that it would come, and that it would come soon. Where this new mind rules, there is neither sorrow nor fear, but only an eager longing for what heavenly blessings we desire and grateful acceptance of what we seek when it is granted. After the Lord has described the terror of the judgment, he adds in Luke 21:28, he says, when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So with the judgment there comes redemption. Judgment for one, redemption for others. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, notice Paul goes on to say, he is none of his. Now, you can talk election all you want. And we have a whole generation of kids who were born into a family where the parents have raised them up in the message, and that is all that these kids have ever known. And they have been raised in the faith, knowing no other faith, no other revelation, and they have never known wrong doctrine. And yet, what assurance do they have of their own election? They can quote the quotes and say the evidence of the new birth is that you believe the word of the hour in which you live. Great. And that's great. And what is that word for the hour? God sent a prophet? Come, come now, my children. You should know better than that. We have more quarters of this end time prophet of God than ever before. And yet do they have a true revelation of what this end time shout is all about? And what about those who can talk the talk? As Brother Vale said, they've got it, but they don't got it. And if Christ be in you, Paul says, the body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of right wiseness. Look, if the revelation, if the right wiseness, if the correct teaching has not done something in the inner man to quicken it and make it alive, you're in a whole heap of trouble because there's a judgment coming. You've got to be born again. You can't just come to church and say, we believe it. We got Brother Hale, he's our teacher. We got Brother Branham. There are about 1 million people in the world. We got Brother Branham. Do they? I got all the daddy. I'd rather have daddy have all me. Whereas one brother said to Billy Paul one day, he said, what would you rather be, a son of God or a son of the prophet? Think about it. Son of a prophet, temporary. Pat, die like every man. Son of God, you have a hope of glory. God don't have grandchildren now. You see? And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now what about that? He said, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life. The spirit has been made alive by right thinking. Then what if your spirit has not been made alive? What if you can talk the talk and quote the quotes and your spirit has not been quickened? Where does that put you? Come on now. Let's say what Paul said. Let's say what John said. John said, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. He doesn't initiate it. He doesn't celebrate in it. He doesn't live day and night in it. It just doesn't happen. Because he, God, life, is living out through you. See? Because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not right wiseness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now, but Paul continues, verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Notice, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken these bodies, bringing them subject, as Brother Branham said. Now the body is dead. Here he speaks of the mortal bodies, because in the glorified body we will be incapable of dying. Therefore he does not say he will quicken your dead bodies, but he says your mortal bodies. For then in your mortal body, will not only have, it'll never have to worry about death, not only will it not have to worry about death, but it will be incapable of dying. Now, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. In other words, the price has been paid. You don't owe your body a thing, but to love God and to live right for Him and for yourself. For if you live after the flesh, remember, what does it mean after? To follow after. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. Now, what does it mean to live after the flesh? Again, what does it mean to live after the flesh? What did Jesus say? We know that he lived after the Spirit, and he shall live. Well, what did he say? What I do, what I say, what I think is all that I see my Father do, hear him speak. I know what he's thinking because I hear him saying it. Therefore, what I do is what the Father does, right? Well, then, what about the other? He that follows after the flesh. What's that? My eyes tell me, my ears tell me, my senses tell me to do this. Wrong, wrong, wrong. You don't follow the senses. Crucify the senses. and allow Christ to live in you. What did the Father say? What did the Father do? What does His Word say about this? You see? Okay. Now, for if ye live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, notice, not through your spirit, but through the Spirit, and Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. If you through the Spirit, through God, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now, what does it mean to mortify? To kill it. You got a desire for lust? Kill it. You got a desire for things? Kill it. See? He that wishes to save his life, he better lose it for God's sake, for his own sake. He that wishes to save his life will lose it. He that wishes to lose his life for my sake shall save it. You see? Notice how it is not you who do it. He says, if you through the Spirit, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of your flesh, you shall live. It's not you doing it, but you through the conduit of God's Spirit living through you that is capable of mortifying the deeds of the flesh. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet it's not I living. That's the key. But it's Christ living in me. The deeds of the flesh are not just evil works, but the passions also, which come forth in lust and evil passions. Now, verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Boy, that isn't a Pentecostal hoedown. You know, oh, the Lord led me to do this. Oh, the Lord led me to do that. A man riding on his motorcycle, committing adultery, and, oh, I felt the Spirit of the Lord. You sure did. I said, that was lust. You don't even know the difference between lust and the Spirit of God, I said. Went off and married her anyway. When the prophet told him not to marry her. When the prophet told him not to leave his wife. He married. Look. How do you know you're being led by the Spirit of God? Or being led by the devil? Think about that. Well, if it's in His Word, I know it's of God. Do you really? Do you really? The devil came quoted to Jesus, trying to lead Jesus. He's a spirit. You know the devil's a spirit. That's why it says the Spirit, not just any spirit. It says try the spirits to see whether they be of God. The devil came with the Word, didn't he? He led Eve right into sin. He tried to lead Jesus into sin. Jesus said, it's also written. Brother Branham said, how do you know it's God? He said, it will be in the Word. It's confirmed in the Word. It's confirmed in your heart. It's in the Word. Confirmed in your spirit. And God will bring it to pass. God be all three. Now, notice, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, what is the Spirit of God? My Word is Spirit, right? They that, as many as are led by the Word of God, they are the sons of God. To be led of the Spirit means to follow God in such a way that you despise and renounce all that God despises and renounces. In other words, you despise and renounce everything that is not of God, even yourself. And to reject the pleasures of this world which are impure and covered with filth. You don't go where Christians don't go. You don't do what Christians don't do, what Christ doesn't do. You see? It means freely to forsake all earthly things and to face and welcome the sufferings of the Christian life. But this is not the work of our corrupt nature. Oh, no. But the work of the Holy Spirit working in us, because the flesh wants to do things, what it feels like doing. But you don't go by feelings anymore. You go by what you see God do, what you see the Father do. Verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear. Here the Apostle Paul contrasts the spirit of bondage with the spirit of sonship. Now, either you've got the spirit of bondage, or you've got the spirit of adoption. You can't have both. He says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again. Well, you had it the first time. But when you're born again, you don't get the spirit of spirit of fear. You get the spirit of something else. Spirit of sonship. See? But notice he uses the word the spirit of adoption, which speaks of receiving the identification of the Spirit of God, whereby we are considered or recognized or witnessed to be sons. Now, let me ask you this. Bar mitzvah. Anybody know about bar mitzvah? What is it? The Jewish ceremony. The young boy becomes what? A man. Who does he recognize him? Does he get up there and say, I am here to proclaim today that I am 13 years old and I am a man and I don't have to listen to my dad any longer. Is that what he does? What does he do? The father says, my son, I've been watching my son. He's turned of age and I've been watching, like Brother Branson, the Holy Spirit's here watching. And when the Holy Spirit feels that we are ready, he turns to the Father and says, now, Father, he's ready for the adoption spirit. When the Son has the mind of the Father and is about his Father's business, the Father is now ready to turn over the checkbook and say, half of it's yours. That's the spirit of adoption. So, we see here, we have the spirit of adoption and we have the spirit of fear. And the word bondage must be understood to be that of the will. Because basically it has to do with your will. For our wills at one time were subject to the flesh only, but now through the Spirit of God, by His Word, we have been set free to follow the leading of the Spirit. Jesus said in John 8:34, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. Of this bondage, no law could ever free you. The law can only cause you fear of the judgment day that follows, and judgment day will follow sin. Therefore, law, or even the law of God, can only destroy the works of sinful desire. But it does not destroy those passions which allow for the sin to manifest in our lives. Therefore, you become a legalist. Well, the reason why I don't do this, and the reason why I don't do that, I fear the judgment. You're still in sin. Because you say, oh, if I wasn't a Christian, boy, if I wasn't a Christian, oh, brother, oh, yeah. Still in sin. Rather than, you know, I really feel sorry for you. Why do you have to be that way? Why do you have to talk that way? Why do you have to be so angry? Why do you have to say things that are so cutting, so hurting? You see? The law can only cause you to fear the judgment that follows sin. Therefore, law, or even the law of God, can only destroy the works of sinful desire, but it does not destroy those passions which allow for the sin to manifest in our lives. Therefore, it does not destroy them, but actually makes us aware of them, and thus, the more you become aware of them, the more increases the desire of them. It actually intensifies the hatred of the law and the desire to transgress it. He goes on to say, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He is telling us that we have become free from fear and have received the spirit of adoption by which you trust God. This trust he shows very clearly by the word, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. This is the cry of the heart from which is full of childlike trust and it knows no fear. Remember Brother Branham? How he told Brother Vail after that he was translated to see the other side? He said, Lee, he said, from that time on, he said, I know no fear. The cry is not out of the mouth, but out of the heart, as we see in Galatians chapter 4. And reading from verse 6 to 7, he says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So, who's doing the crying? The Spirit that has been sent forth into your hearts is the one crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now what's this all about? It's got to be from the heart. It's not just your actions. You can come to church every time. You can pay your tithes. You can, you know, be the loveliest person. You know, Lord bless you, my brother. But if it's not from your heart, you're still in sin. The Spirit of Christ has not come into your heart. It is the Spirit of Christ in your heart that cries out, Abba, Father. I identify with you, Father.
I have nothing to say, Father, but what you say. I have nothing to do, Father, but what you do. That's your identification. You see? The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Notice, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Just to confess it and believe this or hope that you're a child of God does not make you a child of God. Remember the Pharisees who argued with Jesus in John chapter 8? He said they were of the devil and they argued with him and said, no, we're children of Abraham, we're children of God. Just to say it, just to confess it, just to believe it doesn't make it so. But the Spirit, God's Spirit, must bear witness with your spirit. The Spirit within you, that you are indeed a child of God. The witness of the Spirit is the identification in our hearts that we are seed of God. And this can only come by an identification of our spirit with His Spirit. You can believe and always have believed from your heart that you are God's seed. But until His Spirit has come into you and has made you a new creation in Christ, all things passing away and all things becoming new, until you have truly received a confirmation in your heart that there is a witness of the Spirit, His Spirit witnessing with your spirit, that you are, otherwise you're only deceiving yourself. As Brother Branham said so wonderfully, he said, just because you say it so doesn't make it so. There must be this witness of the Spirit. This witness must consist of three things. 1, 2, and 3. First, you must believe that you have been forgiven of your sins only through the gracious favor of Almighty God. Only God can forgive you of your sin. Number 2, you do not call a single work your own. Look what I did. Look what I'm doing. Unless He has given it to you. Number 3, you believe that you cannot earn eternal salvation from any good works, for your salvation is a gift from God given you out of pure grace. This witness of the Spirit is just the beginning then, or the foundation of a newly acquired faith. For this is His witness to you. Your sins are forgiven you. Thus it is the beginning of our faith, and thus we are justified by faith. For to believe this, no one can do so without the Spirit of God in you. Now, let's take the remaining time this morning to examine verse 16 more carefully. Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How many people in vain, not understanding what they have spoken, neither whereof they have affirmed, have wrestled to destruction this Scripture to such a great loss, if not the destruction of their own souls. How many have mistaken the voice of their own imagination for this witness of the Spirit of God? And then idly presumed that they were children of God while they were doing the works of the devil. These people might be enthusiastic, or as Brother Branham said, they might be sincere, but they are sincerely wrong. John said in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive only ourselves. And Paul said in Galatians 6:3, for if a man thinketh himself to be something, to be elect, when he is nothing, he deceiveth only himself. Now, how many people raised up in the message think, because I believe Brother Branham was a prophet of God, I'm elect, and yet living in sin? Deceiving only themselves, because everybody else knows they're living in sin. Why is it that everybody else knows you're living in sin, and you know it too, but you won't admit it? But if your heart was right, you'd look in the mirror and you'd say, yuck, I know that I'm not right. These people convince themselves into error, especially if they have drank deep into the spirit of error. All endeavors to bring them to the knowledge of themselves. And Brother Branham said, when the bride truly recognizes who she is, then she's ready to go. So the devil will tell you everything that you aren't.
And when the preacher gets up to tell you what you are, you all get mad. I'm not saying you all. People get mad. They walk out. They get angry. Who is he to tell me? Is it not the Word of God, or is it the Word of God? Is it not thus saith the Lord from the prophet of God, or is it not? Is it or not? You see, the devil will tell you you are when you aren't. And he'll tell you you aren't when you are. So how do you know? God's Spirit has got to bear witness with your spirit. Not your spirit bearing witness with God's Spirit. The devil believes and he trembles. Cain was a believer. He sacrificed. He gave offerings to God. He did all the good things. He was a fundamentalist. So was Balaam. So was Lucifer. He led in the worship. He was a teacher. And he led. And God placed him there. And he was anointed. Oh, brother, hallelujah, I'm anointed. Glory to God, I'm anointed. That means I'm somebody. No, it doesn't. It means that you're just in the place of Lucifer. Yeah. Wow. I was anointed in the Holy Spirit. And Brother Baxter, you could be anointed with the Holy Spirit every hour of your life and go to hell. It's that seed gene that counts. What if you've got the seed gene and you're never anointed? Oh my. Oh my. Stillborn. Stillborn. Not in the right atmosphere, I'll tell you. Under an umbrella instead of in the rain. Hallelujah. I'll cover it up. Okay. Now. These people convince themselves into error, especially if they have drank deep into the spirit of error. All endeavors to bring them to the knowledge of themselves, they will consider fighting against God. And their forcefulness and impulsiveness of spirit, which they call contending earnestly for the faith, sets them so far above all the usual methods of conviction that they will well say, with men it is impossible. The problem with the taking of this scripture in a wrong sense is that so many have done so that it has brandished fanaticism instead of heartfelt dying out to self. Amongst the fanatical fringe, you will have those who are always witnessing in their spirit, this, that, and the other. Oh, I witnessed it in my spirit. Oh, you know, oh, it was God. No, it was lust. Oh, I saw Jesus. Praise God, I saw Jesus and he petted my dog. And my wife saw Jesus and he petted my dog. How deceiving can you get? Jesus don't go around petting dogs. He won't even take the tithe off of a dog. For crying out loud, that was the devil they saw. Look, just because you're religious, just because you're sweet, that don't make you any better than the nun or the kind old priest that's a homosexual down the street. Now come on. The kindest people you'll meet is those homosexuals if you agree with them. That's right. Oh, they're so sweet. Yes, they are. And they talk so nice. But you disagree with them one time. Give them the test. Like a Pentecostal pussycat. They'll scrape and scratch and do everything they can to maim you. Yeah, that's right. You know the greatest test God could give us in this hour? I'll tell you what it would be. Is to let you win $1 million. That'll see where your spirit's at. You say, oh, God, test me! If you're not His, that $1 million will do more to destroy you than anything else. Oh, yeah. It will. You do that with the missions. You know, we send money. We do it in a certain way because we only give them enough that they have to still be dependent upon God. I know churches that have given thousands of bucks. Perry Green said one time they gave a guy over in Africa, they gave him a car, a Jeep. As soon as he got the Jeep, he had the women, so he was gone from the missions. Had all the women. Another brother I know gave a brother $12,000 and he bought a taxi cab with it. Well, that shows where his spirit's at. Yeah, money will do that to you. So a brother down in Tennessee, I love the brother. Good. I mean, he was a nice guy. Loved him.
got a good job making $18 an hour 20 years ago, right, about 18 years ago, boom, he's gone. That's the message. Don't have need of God anymore. Well, that'll test your spirit real good. You see? You know, Brother Bram said the spirit of Laodicea, he says it's got to return to works. I know thy works, that thou art rich and increased with goods. Thou art neither hot nor cold. I know thy works. It's got to return to works. You see? Now, okay. So the problem with, let's see. The problem with taking the scripture in a wrong sense is that so many have done so that it has brandished fanaticism instead of heartfelt dying out to self. Amongst the fanatical fringe, you will have those who are always witnessing in their spirit this, that, and the other. But the scripture does not speak of what we witness, but what God witnesses in us. It says, the Spirit also beareth witness with our spirit. And how could the Spirit of God ever bear witness to just any spirit which is not born of His Spirit, in His image? For to bear witness means to speak of identification. You know, we all say, you know, I can really witness to that. What are you saying when you say, I can witness to that? You say, hey, I agree. I identify. And yet it's more than just being sympathetic. It's entering in. Jesus said, there's another that beareth witness of me, and his witness is true. The same one who had borne witness of Jesus Christ as the Son of God is the same one that's got to bear witness of you that you are his sons and daughters. You see? What happens, though, is because of fanaticism, the fanaticism of those who walk in a state in which they have become so heavenly-minded that they've become of no earthly good, that others will steer so far away from that that they themselves lose touch with that.